Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris, and we just want to welcome you this morning. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Chris, how you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, brother. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Fantastic.
Man, I love that hat. It's just so
for
fresh.
Christmas, when I come and visit you, I was
can you bring me
about
one?
This morning as I was making my coffee, I said, you know, I need to get Pat one of these hats. Yeah. I got to give you some New York City swag. I got to help you. See, I got to help my brother.
You know, help me out, man. I got to have one of those.
I'm going to do that for you. Okay? And I want to see you wear it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Fantastic. I do want to welcome some of our new VFN radio listeners today, and Michael and Keith and Raul. Oh, my goodness. Trevor and David and Mel and Ron and Calvin and Reza and Jeff. It's so awesome. It's so awesome that everyone is joining us. Of course, we want to get the shout outs to Abe down in Middlesex, New Jersey, down there in Central Jersey. He's so encouraging. And of course, Gordon, man, you are. Listen, we love everyone that's joining us on Facebook. You guys are tuning in and sharing and liking. I tell you, it's very, very encouraging. I'm glad that we're together. We're together on this conversation.
Absolutely.
I do want to give a shout out to everyone out there in Texas. Oh, my goodness, Juan and Regina. I tell you, things are just blowing up in Texas, huh?
Things are hopping, man.
And of course, our Toys R Us crew. They're making toys. They're busy. They're back.
They're
there
going to town, shop. Man.
They're making toys. Did I tell you that Toys R Us in Times Square? This place is so big.
Oh, really?
Has a Ferris wheel on the inside of Toys R Us.
On the inside.
I mean, a real Ferris wheel.
Are you serious?
Wow. Also has a real Jurassic Park dinosaur that actually moves.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Yeah.
In the store.
In the store. Is open 24 hours a day until Christmas Day.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Which we celebrate the Lord's birthday just in two more weeks. I mean, how awesome is that? I love
Wonderful.
This time of the year. You know, I just love being able to celebrate the Lord's birthday. If you missed yesterday's program, oh my goodness, if you missed yesterday's program, you definitely want to tune in. Go to the VFNTV.com and go to the Torch and make sure that you listen. Keep Christ in Christmas. I mean, listen, every year it seems that, you know, of course, this little chubby guy with the red hat seems to be getting a whole lot of attention.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to name him, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Jesus's birthday, and we want to be able to make sure that we keep Christ in Christmas. We're talking to the church. I mean, you know, you don't want to start telling your children that, you know, all these gifts come from you know, the red-suited guy. But, they, you know, every perfect gift comes from the Father of you know, above.
That's right.
And the Lord has empowered us and blessed us as parents and as loved ones to be able to purchase those things for our children and others. And listen, everything speaks. Everything speaks of the Lord.
Absolutely.
We shared yesterday how the tree, you know, start to use everything to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Don't leave anything just sitting out there. I mean, the tree represents that. Listen, the Bible says that curses anyone who hung on a tree.
That's right. Well,
Jesus hung on a cross, which came from a tree.
Yep.
You know, the lights represent that Jesus is the light of the world. And let me tell you, as darkness continues to grow, let me tell you, his light is going to shine all that much more brighter.
That's right.
And all the gifts under the tree represent the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. And we're talking about a savior. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the precious gift of Jesus Christ. I mean, he was willing to leave all the splendor in heaven, all the glory in heaven, to be contained in a body.
That's right.
For me, for you to live on this earth 33 years as a man. Philippians says that he humbled himself.
That's right.
And let's remember, especially in, you know, even that day, you know, I know that many families have, many Christian families have a tradition where before you open a single gift, I want to encourage you, before you open a single gift Christmas morning, open your Bibles. You know, there's two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, that speak mm-hmm. about Jesus' birth. Open your Bibles and pause for a moment. Maybe get you some coffee and some hot mm-hmm. cocoa. Don't let the kids rush to start tearing up stuff.
Right.
And set the pace that morning. Set it that morning and start talking about Jesus' birth.
Yeah, I tell you, John, because that's something that we've done for years with our kids. Every Christmas morning, we gather around before we do anything else, and we talk mm-hmm. about, you know, what the meaning of Christmas is, and you know, make sure the kids understand what this is all about. Of course, they always do. And we always read the story of Jesus' mm-hmm. birth. You know, we'll read it out of the Gospels, or I think even Jonathan has a little book that kind of does it, you know, those pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's so important. Yeah. We do that as well. And I just encourage you, you know, it's okay to start another tradition. A lot of times families come together and they exchange gifts, you know, later on Christmas Day, or maybe you do it Christmas Eve. Go ahead and step up this year. Go ahead and say, you know what, guys, before we go ahead and start opening all these gifts, why don't we give glory and honor to the one that we're celebrating this year? Let's take a time and reflect on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's just a wonderful time. It's great to bring everyone back in right perspective. Not only that, but especially with children, you're emphasizing again what is important.
That's right.
During the holiday season. And so that's a wonderful time. I can't believe it's like 14 days away. We are here. No snow yet, Pat, but I will let you know when the snow comes. It'd be nice to have just a little bit of snow this year. If you're not in the Northeast, I'm sorry. Many years that I was in Florida, I had no snow.
That's right.
It's just strange wearing shorts during Christmas Day. But
I've done that a few times.
Yeah, I know. I have too. But if we have a little snow, that would be nice. Not nothing treacherous. Just sprinkle, you know, little white stuff on the ground, makes it look nice.
Right.
But yesterday, Chris, yesterday, mm-hmm. there was a slight mention of something that occurred over the weekend, and I don't want.
Oh no!
Come on, man.
Listen. I don't want our VFN radio listeners to not know what's going on here. Okay.
You mean Eddie? Will right. that be one of them?
I'm talking about all of us who have tuned in and just saw the, I don't know if beating is proper word, shellacking would be. No, I'm trying to comb through the words in my mind would be the appropriate mm-hmm. word.
Yeah, be careful.
That the New York Giants. That the New York Giants did to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, when
what did they do? What happened?
Loses.
Did something happen?
Oh, like you didn't know.
I didn't watch it.
Well, let me tell you the score since you didn't watch it. Okay, it was 52-27.
Are you sure?
Oh, I am sure.
Sure, it's not a typo?
I am sure. I just, wow. You know, listen, I think even Eddie sent you a message that night. Isn't that right?
I think he did. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it was a prank call.
A prank call?
I think we're in denial, bro.
Yeah. No, look, I can deal with this. Look, I've been a fan since the bag days. You
That's
know,
right.
We used to put paper bags on our heads, cut the eyes out so people wouldn't know who we were, and it said Aints across the front of it. So I understand. You know, I'm cool with it.
We're used to it, really.
Yeah. That's what we call suffrage for the cause of Christ. Totally amazing. Have you heard anything else from Eddie? John, are you still there with us? Well, I tell you what, while he's fixing his mic, we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
I want to talk to you, our VFN radio listener. You've been listening now for a while and your spirit's been stirred. And you're saying, I want to be a part of the end time move of God. Well, guess what? We have a plan and a way for you. I want you to find out more about getting involved in the end time move of God at VFNU.org. That's Vine Fellowship Network University. Well, you're just not going to hear about where the church has been, but you're going to hear about where the church is going. Be a part. Don't sit back. Get in the game. VFNU.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation. But they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now. And maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, here we are. I had a chance to speak this morning to my doctor, and I'm just so thankful that God has blessed me with a kind, caring doctor. And there's nothing. It's just cool. You know, it's a gift from God when you have a doctor who cares about you and is giving you good advice, even when you're like, "Oh, really, really, really? That's gonna hurt if we don't get some of that." And it's like, you know, he's thinking about you and taking care of you, and it's just encouraging to, I just thank God for him. I thank God for him and, you know, the staff, and just such a blessing out there. Well, you know, I'll come on just a little bit later than normal. And, oh my goodness, Sons of Thunder, boom, you know what I'm saying? By the way, I was just thinking today, if you happen to see any compassion laying around anywhere, you know, you need to pick it up. I mean, wrap it up and give it away for Christmas, because right now what people need more than anything, more than some electronic device, they need you to touch them meaningfully and lovingly. Shut your mind down for a moment and think about them and listen to them and spend time with them and help them get through some times, because this has been a very stressful year for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And anybody that moves prophetically, that hears, you know, and all of God's people should hear, but if you're hearing from the Lord, I mean, it's kind of tense when the Lord's talking about and sharing with you a few things that are about to take place. And there is nothing to worry about, but sometimes you just need compassion. You need compassionate people who are, and what this is the tendency, this is why. Because as things become more and more stressful, as they become more and more stressful because of different things, maybe a job loss, maybe tension at the workplace, a lot of pressure on the family and all that, people tend to focus on themselves. Mm-hmm. And you have a tendency to turn inwardly, and because you're going through some stuff. But that's the time you got to trust God with yourself. You got to let go of all the things the enemy's trying to get you to focus inwardly and focus on other people. Focus on other people. And it could be, you know, it's very dangerous because the times that are coming, the prophetic times that are coming to the earth that we know about, you know, Jesus says the love of the body will grow cold. The key to us is staying close and staying warm in the fire of God's love. It's like, you know, trust God with us. Mm-hmm. You live with eternity on your mind, not with earth on your mind and how things are going to work out and your things and your stuff, and realize this is just a temporary type situation. And the most powerful thing you can do when everything's coming in on you is just to let it go and give it to God. Let it go and give it to God. The strategy of the enemy would be for you to totally 100% turn inwardly while everybody's dying around you. And that happens all the time. It happens in families. It happens in marriages. It happens, I mean, think about, you know, poor teenagers. I mean, they are the epicenter of all existence, and everybody are like little planets that kind of go around them. And the best thing they could do is step outside themselves and care about their family. But it's going to be really hard for them to do that. They can do that with God, and we can do that with God. So I want to encourage you, you know, you can wrap up 1,000 different things, but the best thing that you can wrap up and give everybody that you can for this Christmas and beyond is compassion. And compassion is, you know, Jesus came down, the Word of God says, he came down out of the mountains. And he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion because He saw the people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. And compassion is what's going to separate the true church from the world, is that we are going to be compassionate. I believe one day the church is going to be truly, deeply compassionate, not thinking about, you know, our things and stuff and our organizations and, you know, trying to, but just thinking about people, you know, thinking about their journey. And compassion's definition has two parts to it. The first part is that you feel something. You're actually, you don't logically see something. You know, you may see it with your eyes, but that's not compassion. Mm-hmm. Compassion is when you're feeling this empathy in your heart and you're broken over a situation, or you're feeling their pain. You know, as President Clinton used to say, I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And America connected because he said he felt it. And and we as Christians, you know, we got to be able to say, I feel your pain. And people got to believe it. Mm-hmm. And people got to believe it. And that's the first part of it. You know, not just feeling sorry for people, but you're feeling empathy. And the next thing you do is you do something about it. You mm-hmm. do so. You act on that. And that moment of feeling compassion and acting on it, that's God in you responding to their need for love and compassion at that moment. And so I want to encourage you, pretty much, if you know anybody in your community and neighborhood that's up in age and their family, they live alone, or mm-hmm. Just going to see them and visit them this Christmas and just stopping by, and you know, they mm-hmm. still believe that you can bake somebody cookies and they would be a gift. They wouldn't be thinking there's razor blades or toxic chemicals in right. them, that you're trying to undo them. That's a generation cool. that still believes. And they're willing to risk, you know, growing things in the garden and eating it. And right. But just compassion, you know, think about compassion. And I notice that that is what tends to disappear at times of great pressure. When you're under personal sickness or you're under pressure and your finances are not going right, and it really is part of our carnal nature, and it gets really pathetic, you know, mm-hmm. when you start looking at the human nature, and it's like, you know, when will we stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about others? Because the enemy wins when he sets a fire at our feet and all we do is think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. He wins, and all he has to do is just cause a little disturbance in your life, and all of a sudden your entire ministry on behalf of God stops. It totally stops. No more are you outgoing and outflowing to anybody else. Just a little cold, a little physical discomfort, a little financial things. Mm. Things didn't go in the timing that you saw they should. Now your lips are out so far that you would trip all of Congress, you know, if they were to come through your district. And it's like, come on. You know, this is where we love God, in the time of trouble and pressure. And granted, you know, we've lived in this awesome country called America in times that you really, I mean, we had people that made it most of their life by doing nothing, and they survived in America because America's been so blessed. I mean, they've made it from a child to, you know, retirement almost, and lived in an environment where they could just watch soap operas their entire life, or mm-hmm. And somehow food came their way and housing came their way and mischief came their way. I mean, that's an amazing land to live in. Yeah. And if you want to be set out from the rest, and I really believe that you can move heaven, is have compassion. You know, have compassion on people. And to have compassion on others is that you have to let go of yourself. I always say it's impossible to discern for others when you only discern for yourself. You have to let go of thinking about you to be able to think about others. You can't discern for yourself and others at the same time. It's impossible. Totally impossible. And people say, I care, but what happens is voice about me is so loud that you can't hear the voice about them. And that's the big thing. We got to trust God with ourselves.
Right. Mm.
You know, which is pretty cool because you take up a lot of your time. You know, people say they're always talking about me and thinking about me. Dude, they're not thinking about you. You're talking about, they're thinking about themselves, you know?
Right.
You know, most people are thinking about themselves. And, yep. And if you understand that, then when you step out and minister, people are shocked. And ministers just stop and talk to someone. You know, put your hand on their shoulder. Understand that the enemy's trying to attack every form of compassion, and where people are scared to put their hands on somebody, scared to, they're going to have the wrong intentions if I stop, and they think I'm trying to take something from them, and it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, love them anyway. You know, love them anyway and be kind to them anyway. And that's the thing that's going to set us apart. So I want to encourage you, of all the gifts you can give, It's compassion. I mean, imagine this. You know what? I'm going to find 100 people in the month of December celebrating God's compassion towards me and giving me Jesus, who was able to empathize with my weaknesses and have compassion for me. Then I'm going to do that for others. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have compassion for them. Mm. For a husband, that might mean going shopping with your wife.
Mm.
Look at that. Pat locked up. He locked up. And John, the way that Pat holds his wife's purse while she's shopping, right?
That's so nice.
Isn't it? Well, he does it in a manual way. He puts a strap over his head. No,
like a bandana?
Yeah, right. No, yes, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. That thing would sit there and it would roll before
on his shoulder.
Yeah, well, it's only because of the culture. We got to, you know, take a stand somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere, you got to take a stand. And so that's just on my heart. You know, obviously, we can empathize when we've gone through some stuff, but just stop and talk to people. I know I'll take a walk around my neighborhood and talk to the community, and it's amazing how encouraging it is to people just to stop and talk to them. Talking to my doctor, for example, this morning, I mean, he was just so kind and compassionate, you know, not just looking just to, you know, give a medicine or something, but to, you know, work through some things. So that's my compassion thing. I know that, you know, Pat is just so overly compassionate. You know, we have to kind of slow him down in the context of this. But, you know, I'm obviously not talking about the situation. Now, if you want compassion, Chris, no. Oh, my goodness.
Chris.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like a teddy bear. And he's
compassionate,
like,
Chris.
Compassionate Chris, you know.
Compassionate Chris. He's so, you in trouble, call Chris.
Call him, right. Right, right, right. Exactly. No, technical answers. You know, you gotta go with the producer. The producer.
Producer.
Well, you know what? The One Thing Conference is coming up.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
We always enjoy the One Thing Conference. One Thing 2012 is here, and it's so important to be able to do it. It happens out of Kansas City, Missouri. IHOP, International House of Prayer, started it. They started in 1998, the same year that we started, when God began to call us out to do what we're doing. And I love Mike's Bickle's passion for the love of God and help. And this year's One Thing Conference. And listen, you don't have to go all the way to Kansas City, Missouri. You can go to ihop.org, not .com, because you get pancakes. But if you go to .org, then you're going to get, you know, you can watch it with a group of people or in your fellowship online. You know, that's how all of our churches, you know, around the nation, that's how we do it. And it's a wonderful time. You know, worship's there and the messages are there. And as a matter of fact, you got to hear what's taking place.
The best kept secret in the church today is the magnificence of Jesus. The most powerful, pleasurable thing that will ever touch your heart is the excellence, the magnificence, the knowledge of this man given to you by the Holy Spirit in this age and the age to come.
There is an escalating crisis in our nation with increased abortions, rampant immorality, injustice, human trafficking, a growing economic crisis, and sustained drought, along with compromise permeating much of the church. At the same time, the Lord is preparing His church for the greatest revival and prayer movement in human history as His people minister in the power of the Spirit and reach out to see the great harvest of souls promised in the Scripture. The kingdom will make great advances, seeing the Lord's transforming power touch every sphere of society. Forerunners are arising who will lovingly confront darkness, expose lies, and take an uncompromising stand for the truth of Scripture with deep loyalty to Jesus. This December, join with 25,000 young adults in Kansas City as we encounter Jesus and His transforming power.
Praise be to the
It's December the 28th to the 31st. You got, if you're right there in Kansas City, Missouri, I encourage you go. Attend it. If you are nearby, you're in driving distance, I would encourage you to go. If not, don't miss it. Listen, every year we have not, since the Lord has connected us, you know, my daughter Amber had a chance to be able to do an internship there, and she says, you know, when I spent time, 6 months, she spent time with Mike Bickle, and she says, we're just so, we kind of identical in what we're hearing from the Lord and understanding and preparing for this day. And they mentored us in our prayer and fasting community that's been going now for maybe 3 years.
It's four.
Four years and thousands of hours of prayer. And we got to focus. Think about this. It would be totally a shame if you spent your entire life thinking about something other than Jesus. And when you get to heaven, you find out it was all about Jesus. And that, you know, understanding his magnificent beauty. And you wouldn't even know who the one who's holding the scroll with the seven seals. You're going to say, who is this guy up here? You know, that everybody's, you know, declaring his glory and his honor and calling worthy, worthy. And he's got some piece of paper in his hand and supposedly he's got seven seals. And it's like you spent your whole life thinking about religion and everything else instead of understanding that that is the one who redeemed us, who is worthy to unloose the seals that's going to bring us into eternity and bring, if you like balancing your checkbook, Earth is going to be balanced. It's going to be balanced. It may seem unbalanced to you today, but it's going to be balanced. And all the every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and all these evil dudes and these evil women who seem to get away with what they're doing, they will stand before the judgment seat of God,
and they'll
answer for it. And Satan, who has been tempting and doing all these things, he will be locked up in hell forever, you know, in chains. And this is a glorious day that we're going to. And so we want to end every year focused on one thing. You know, David said, one thing I do. You think about it. And, you know, that Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, pressing on towards what's ahead. And David talked about, you know, I just always want to be in the Lord's presence. And no matter how your year went, maybe you made a lot of money this year. Maybe you lost a lot of money. Maybe you had a lot of failures. And maybe you had a lot of successes. Maybe you had a divorce. Maybe you had you got married this year. Maybe good things, but whatever. It doesn't, put it all aside. Lay it at the foot of the cross and just focus on Jesus for 4 days. December the 28th to the 31st. I know it's a big thing. Well, you know, think about it. Set yourself aside and ask others around you to set themselves aside and dedicate. And it's all day and all night, but don't do that. If you can't do that, just every night, you know, to the night of the 28th, the night of the 29th and the 30th and then 31st. And think about it. You're ending 2012 focused on Jesus and you're beginning 2013 focused on Jesus, and is putting things into, it's rebooting you. It's getting you back to a place of alignment again and reminding you what it's all about, and that whatever pains you went through and whatever victories you had, your pains are God will heal them, and your victories will be trophies that you lay at his feet. And you begin the year right, and God will speak to you and encourage you for the year to come, no matter what it entails.
Right.
So I want to encourage you to join, you know, thousands who have been coming together once a year, whether it's physically or virtually, at the One Thing Conference out of Kansas City, Missouri. You can find out more at ihop.org, ihop.org. John, I don't know if you heard this or not. I know you mentioned it before, but now it's coming to pass. You know, the Lord is so merciful, and he's so merciful that sometimes, even though he says he's going to do something, he just may all of a sudden say, I'm not going to do it. I mean, you got to be totally open, but you got to tell people what he told you to tell them, despite the fact that he may change his mind because he's so good. He's looking for opportunities to not do what he says he has to, like any loving father would, you know, really don't want this to happen. But, you know, sometime back we've been saying, you know, the finances are, you can't keep on borrowing money and think that, you know, you're going to be able to survive that if you're borrowing more than you actually have. And like 46 cents, I believe, off every dollar they're saying is borrowed money.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? If you imagine that every dollar that you have in your wallet, in your bank, 46% of it's coming, it's borrowed money, which means there's interest due on that, plus the money's going back. Well, that's huge. Then when you're talking, you know, $16 trillion, interest on that's enough to, you know,
right.
That's just major. But then you say, okay, here it is. So it's happening. This is what I'm talking about. It's happening. And you're fixing to see, I believe, a huge unfolding They're reporting now on Fox News this morning that when you think about the time it takes to be able to put together the idea, when they come up with the negotiation for the fiscal cliff, which they're saying is January the 1st, the truth is this weekend is really the last day for them to come through with something, because it's going to take them that long to be able to put it together. So Fox News is reporting this morning, if they don't work it out this week, we're going to hit the cliff.
All right.
And I truly believe, you know, that President Obama's created a huge government, that more taxes is something that he would appreciate, to be able to run this huge government. This is a huge, taking over medical treatment for all of Americans and all these different things. So it's not going to be necessarily a negative thing. As a matter of fact, when I'm watching the demeanor of our president when he's in negotiations, it's almost like, you know, somebody that is unconcerned, but not only unconcerned, it's almost like a smile that's on his face saying, you know, we're just going to get through this stuff. And, you know, this, it's like, I've already won. This is the way it's going to go. And it's like, but doesn't the executive branch have equal power with the legislative branch? Yep. And so aren't you supposed to work together? And didn't we vote both of you in? And aren't you both of you supposed to work this out? And how can one branch do it away with the other branch? Because the way that it's designed to keep one branch, according to the citizenship test, right, from being too powerful, is that we have a the balance of powers, equal powers in those different things. But it's like being totally ignored. So here it comes. Here it comes. It's reported this morning by the chief of police in Camden, New Jersey, that they are going to fire every police officer. They're going to, every one of their police officers that are union police officers, they're going to fire them. Just totally fire them. They're going to let them all go. And they're going to begin to rehire new officers who are not in the union.
Yeah.
Wow.
And these present union officers, unionized officers, that they have a 30% absentee rate. 30%. Not only are they undermanned, and they're undermanned by police protection because they're paying so much money to these union police officers that they can't afford to actually pay for more officers. So there's less officers on the street. And then the officers they do have, because it's union, that they're actually 30% of them aren't even showing up.
Wow.
Yeah. I think the police, chief of police, whoever the head police officer in that city said that they have better hours than bankers now. They don't come.
Well, their mindset. I mean, I believe the president of the union, at least somebody that was an officer there, was saying this morning on Fox News. He said, "Well, we believe the reason why they pay us so much money is because they send us to an impoverished people, that the crime's so high they're just paying us well to do what nobody else would do." Basically, is what he was saying. But understand this: that the murder rate in the United States right now, the murder rate per 100,000 people is like a little over 4 persons per 100,000.
Wow.
Well, the murder rate in Camden, New Jersey is just at 84, I believe, 84, according to Fox News, 84 per, no, according to the chief of police of Camden, 84 per 100,000.
Wow.
Which is equivalent to a third world nation or Honduras.
Ooh. Wow.
But the thing is that the unions are keeping you, if you're in Camden right now, that they're actually keeping you from having enough officers on the street to be able to put to do the, and so what's going to happen when they put, when they're able to get rid of, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, but the worst thing that could ever happen to the unions is happening across the land, and I'm sure they're shocked because they put everything behind our president to get him in office, and you know, things are happening totally different than what they probably thought. You know, bipolar type things are happening. But in their interview on Fox News this morning, they're talking about the crime rate is so high because the officers, not enough officers on the street. And so the journalists are concerned because a lot of people that you see in on major news areas, you know, live in New Jersey, and they go swing over to New York to be able to do it. And they say, well, you know, we live in, they were kind of concerned about this. And they're saying, well, no, you're actually going to have more officers on the street. And they're going to leave the union officers on until like around spring, as they're progressively, like the county's going to hire and create this whole new department.
County force.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's like, why would you do that? And, of course, they said, well, what about the pension plans for the officers? They're going to get their pensions, the chief said, but it's going to be non-union workers. And so here we are. I mean, the opposite of what you thought would be, you know, taking place is when the unions got behind, I mean, the unions put our president in office. And so in addition to that, you know, it's happening because they don't have the money. They don't have the money to pay the police officers. And listen, it's important for people to hear things like, you know, you're talking about John in California, what they said, lock your doors and get your guns out because there's not going to be the police out here.
Right. Yeah.
That this is just the beginning. It's going to happen all over the land.
Just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen all over the land. And
it's happened in Detroit. It's happened in California. It's happened in Camden. And it's like, my goodness.
Well, California is so totally, you know, broke. It's just a matter of time. And this thing is that the people that are working are basically riding around. They're not, but just the mindset of it. Mm-hmm. In limousines, right. Which means if you stop your limousine living in your limousine workplace, then you can afford some more people to work. But people say, I'm not willing to give up all my, you know,
luxury,
overpaidness for this particular job to be able to save this country. But then, in addition to that, that's police officers. And then you look at Michigan, you know, with the governor today, I believe, or at least this week, is they're passing and should pass. He says that the bill hits his desk. They're going to pass the right to work law for their state, which disempowers unions. And what it means, basically, as we talked about earlier this week, that, you know, you can choose to pay your dues or not. You don't have to be in a union. If you're a union state, that if a union represents your company or your government agency that you're in, you have to join the union. You have to pay your dues. Mm. But when you're a right-to-work state, you don't have to. The authority drops with the employee. They're the ones that determine what their future is and what they're going to do. And this is powerful because they're finding out that the reason why Michigan's going this way, and I believe it's about 26 states that have the right-to-work law, that's where businesses are going to. I mean, why would you want to start a business? You know, why would you want, I mean, if you knew in advance that your children were going to tell you how to raise them, they were going to tell you how much to pay their allowances, and they were going to rule your life forever, why would you have them? Mm-hmm. You know, wow. If you were going to have a business and hire employees, and your employees were going to take you over, and you were going to be working for them, I don't understand why you would even want to go in business. And the thing is, what they're finding out is, in a right-to-work state, that businesses are just migrating to states that give the right to the employee and let them decide. If they want to be in a union, they can be in a union. If they want to pay dues, they can pay dues. They can, or not.
What's happening in Texas? I mean, they have one of the strongest economies in the world, and all the companies are going to Texas because of that.
And it's the total opposite. It's a bipolar opposite of what I'm sure the unions expected when they elected the president. And they're losing their power. The power, it's not the power to tax, but when you can force people to pay dues and the government gets behind it, in some instances, the government collects the dues, which is just, what happened? Anyway, so they're losing the power to tax. If the government, for example, lost the power to tax, they would lose their power. They wouldn't have any power. Mm-hmm. Well, the union now, who had the power to force people to pay dues, they're losing their power to do. This is a significant thing. If every workplace that you unionized forced every employee there to pay you a certain amount of money every single month, that's huge. That's like billions of dollars that was coming in. And now it's actually the opposite taking place. I mean, they're surrounding the Capitol even this morning with protests because the governor says, if the bill hits my desk, and it's going to hit it, I understand, because I believe it's a conservative Republican Congress, I think that's there. That's and what they're really wanting, they want jobs. They're trying to bring. It's crazy. It's like the people that have jobs don't care about the 23 million who don't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's not going to work long. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work long. Where the people without jobs are going to say, listen, you need to balance this out a little bit. So the unions, what you're going to do, you're going to start seeing. I'm telling you now, the unions are not going to take this laying down.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They didn't take. Wisconsin laying down. They sent all their forces to Wisconsin when they were doing the same thing, when the governor Scott, I believe, was it Scott Walker, was doing the very same thing, and it passed, and they were shocked even with all their money. They're not going to, this is huge for them to begin to lose this kind of power over the businesses. And so you're going to start seeing, and that's some of the things the Lord has shown us, people hitting the streets. You're going to see that Guy Fawkes type thing where this, you know, protesting against, you know, authority and government, and they're just not going to take it laying down, because they were actually, why the right-to-work states were just kind of oblivious to this. These union states were literally owning the state, owning the legislature branches. They were owning the companies and corporations, and I can't believe, I don't know why in the world, you know, any company would want to even go into a unionized state, because it's going to guarantee the destruction of your, eventually, the destruction of your a company, the end of your product, or the overpricing of your product where people are not going to be able to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. You think about it. And it's just, you know, just because somebody's been there in seniority, they automatically get paid more versus, and they're just, I mean, they just reported on several employees sitting out on their break, and one of the auto workers with the auto workers union, they're part of the auto workers union, were sitting out smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol on their breaks. And they just ruled in favor of these guys to be able to come back in.
Unbelievable.
And it's just amazing what, and it's just not, everything's that way now because the church is that way, by the way, because it's the church has turned out that way, you know, where we turned away from God. You know, what's God's news behind the news? That's the order of the church. The church is out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, you know, hirelings being hired instead of, you know, apostles leading the church. And you have wives leading husbands and children leading families. You have, everything's just upside down. And the world is just reflecting, you know, what the church has allowed it to be able to take place. And, but we're going to see that. We're going to be, they're not going to take that line down. So I want to encourage you, you know, to be prepared when you're starting to see this fiscal cliff, which means financial, not physical, but fiscal, so financial cliff. Understand the Lord's already begun to talk to us about that. And Fox News is reporting, really, this weekend is the date. And it doesn't look like there's any deal due. And and understanding how President Obama sees this country, sees it, he just sees it differently. You know, people have, you got to be open to the fact that people don't see things the way you see things. And if you can understand how they see things, you can understand them and understand how to work with them. He just basically is a socialist and sees government needs to be there to provide for the people. If you look at the injustices that's happened in America, you can see why somebody would lean towards socialism who was coming from an oppressed state and has seen people oppressed just because. You know, we're not going to get all into that deep history that's right there. So that's this weekend. That's this weekend. And how prepared is everybody? Don't think much. Don't think much at all. And so, you know, talk about a fiscal cliff this particular any day now. But think about it. There's a financial Armageddon coming to America, coming to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a bump in the road. Now, we've mentioned this, and I know that it's up. It's, I think it's up over here. We're gonna talk about the prophetic dream that was given about that. But we're gonna, first, I want to say, listen, there's a financial Armageddon that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more about it, and we're gonna play it in just a moment for you as well as I talk about it. But this fiscal cliff is just a bump. It's nothing compared to what's going to happen. If you would have watched the Russia, when Russia was going through the same situation, they would call it a financial Armageddon, where one day the money was worth something, and then a few hours later, I remember them all in the streets, that it was worth, it wasn't worth, you couldn't live the same lifestyle overnight. Overnight, it was like all this thing that you used for currency one day was worthless. It was totally worthless, and it just, it's hard to believe, because if you've been leaning on something for so long that it was going to work, that you would, you know, be able to do it, but it's just not going to work. It's probably 6 minutes. And the understanding that you need to be prepared. Realize that, and I like the way Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries said this, and this is basically how I felt the same way. That if Mitt Romney would have become the president, that means we just had more time to prepare for this financial Armageddon. That's all it meant. And Armageddon, for those that don't know it, is an end time battle. It's a major thing. So somebody says Armageddon, that's like bad. It's like it's like life as you know it financially is about to change.
The big one.
The big one. It's not the end of the world, but it is a change as you know it. And so Mitt Romney would have meant more time, but it still was going to happen. And if President Obama made it, and he did in the second election, that meant that we were out of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of time. And I totally, my spirit is in alignment with that. And seeing the response and seeing what's taking place with government right now, it's like they're just locked up. They're just locked up. They don't know. It's like God has locked their minds up, and something as simple you know, as result.
Not rocket science here.
It's not rocket science. It's very simple. I mean, even the former mayor of New York, you know, Mayor Giuliani, you know, can explain to him a few little things. He knew nothing about economics, and he you know, said, listen, this doesn't make sense. If we raise taxes now, we'll have to do it 2 years later, and then 2 years later, and 2 years later. Yeah. Why don't we? And then he went the direction of gradually do a lot of expenditure cuts and then gradually begin to lower taxes, but do it very gradually. And next thing you know, all the debt was paid off and they had a surplus. That, New York now.
Yeah, not just that, but it returned 600,000 people that were on welfare. They were able to get off of welfare and started working and empowering them and really helped them out. I think they wound up having a $3.5 billion surplus. You can't keep just raising. They said, I think Fox News was saying that if they raise the tax increases, it's enough revenue to take care of the federal government for 8 days.
Right. And you have to understand, then, this is what this means. First of all, our president, President Barack Obama, is an intelligent man. Mm-hmm. He is a constitutional professor. He's a lawyer. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. He realizes it takes his time. It takes time to do it. He is fundamentally transforming the country to where he thinks it needs to be for whatever reasons. And it's happening right before our very eyes. And there's a reason why he's making these decisions or not making them and going the direction he's going. It looks like, John, go ahead. And I want you to tell us quickly, because we're coming to the end of the first hour, about this prophetic dream. Tell us about this prophetic dream about the economy.
Well, you know, I had this dream where I was headed to, I was actually in the workplace at work in the dream. And as I was walking, getting ready to go to my office, I saw that everyone was gathered around the television screen. And something was happening. There was some sort of breaking news that was occurring, but it was very, like, very real time, not where you see today where, you know, it's breaking news and they're telling you what the breaking news is going to be or what they think it's going to be. What I saw was a reporter that was on the New York Stock Exchange, and surrounding him were brokers. They were all in their blue coats, and he was about to report something that was pretty huge. Everyone was just glued to the television screen. And so as he's getting ready to gather his thoughts, he says, I'm about to, when you come back, I don't want anyone to panic, but when I come back, I'm about to share something. And as I remember, you know, basically it's gonna be big. When he said that,
the reporter saying, "Get ready, here it comes. I'm about to tell you something major,
major."
And everybody in the office, this is a huge office. They're all stopping and looking towards the television.
Correct.
And he's standing out in front of the New York Stock Exchange.
He's on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh my goodness!
Standing still, not brokering. They're not doing business.
Oh, that's huge.
They're standing still, and they're surrounding him. And so that was a clue. So at that time, I already knew, since God had been speaking to us, I already knew what this was about. And so I just went to gather my stuff because I knew that it was about to drop. And
because God's already been speaking to us already, yeah. So you already had it in your spirit.
Right.
So you're gathering your stuff while people are watching this thing on the news, while this guy's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange is about to tell us something huge that's going to change the world as we know it. Okay.
So as I'm leaving, now I'm walking past the television screen. He begins to start talking, so I stop. And he says, I just want you to know that the world's going to be over as we know it in 6 minutes. Now, when he said this, I mean, there was just pandemonium broke out there at the workplace.
They believed him.
They believed him. They were just going nuts. And at that time, I just rose up and said, listen, you got to go. You got to, at that time.
VFN Torch.
I was saying, you know, you need to go to the VFN Torch. Right. You need to go and get
Which we have prophetic words listed there. You can go back and read these prophetic words. You go to VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, click on VFN Torch, and go at the very top menu. It says prophetic words, and you can click on that. Go ahead.
And people were real responsive. I said, listen, God told us about this. And I'm starting to share everything and downloading that everything that God already had told us. But see, listen, you need to go to the Torch. You need to go to the Torch. And so then I was leaving to get prepared to share with the church. But, you know, in the dream, I knew that it was economic collapse. I knew that it's 6 minutes meant now, quick, rapidly. Also means like idols. And they're also there at the New York Stock. All the monies and Wall Street, everything was going to change. And I just knew in my spirit it was the coming economic collapse that God has been sharing that's coming.
Right. And that's exactly what. So this could be the domino that clicks it all off. Because it's going to be a reaction, but this is minor compared to what's going. We're going to be talking more about this in the extra hour. You've got to join us in the extra hour because we're going to talk about a vision the Lord gave me about the finances in America. And then we're going to talk about how to prepare for the financial collapse that's coming. Listen, it's not the end of the world, but it's the end of the world how you know it. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.